Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw Countout, the only pro wrestling podcast where we count things down here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. I never developed a good intro for this countdown show that we do. It's kind of annoying. We're available right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. I'm also available wherever fine podcasts can be found. If you want to support Going In Raw, a really easy and free way to do it is by hitting up that iOS podcast app, leaving us a rating or review, or whatever podcast app you're on. I'm sure it helps the show, leaving a rating or review.
Correct.
We're also available at the Patreon if you want a financial way to support Going In Raw. It's always a great and very welcome way to do that.
In fact, there's the links right down there.
Yeah, man, we always have it there. We've got a ton of great reward tiers that you can check out there.
Speaking of great things, we have a lot of great things at our pro wrestling tee shop.
Man, I'm looking to do this week. I'm looking to get another
design.
This is a design you can get,
but yeah, not the new design.
I'm gonna do the new design. That's what I'm gonna do.
I like it.
I don't know what it's gonna be. It's gonna be great though.
Is it gonna be a Going In Raw logo with a new one?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that.
Cool.
Something like that. We'll see. And that old one that's kind of looked like retro.
Yeah.
I'll bust that out again.
Yeah, that was a good logo.
Put it on there.
Oh, that's been on ice for a year and a half.
Yeah, man. I'm going to do it now.
Good.
I'm going to do it.
You have my full support.
Awesome. Possum. Let's get into this. Matches. It's the year 2018.
Human year 2018,
It
yes.
is the human year 2018.
And there's a whole year before us, which since we talk about wrestling, we enjoy wrestling, we went filled with a lot of awesome wrestling matches.
2017 was a banner year.
It was outstanding.
Yeah, it was fantastic. We want 2018 to be even better.
Even more of a banner year, and I think that would be accomplished if we saw these 10 matches. These are the 10 matches we want to see in the human year 2018.
That is correct. Number 10!
10.
Bray Wyatt versus Braun Strowman. There's a huge elephant in the room whenever Braun Strowman and Bray Wyatt are like sort of even in the same building together.
Yeah, they used to be part of the same family, the Wyatt family.
Yeah, Bray Wyatt sort of brought Braun Strowman from wherever he came from. He joined the Wyatt family. This is really cool. I was always really... It's always really special when they bring somebody just straight up to main roster.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Braun was like a Rosebud at one point in NXT. Yeah. I think he had like some dark matches.
Yeah, but he was never on NXT TV as far as I know.
Right, not as a character anyways. Yeah. He spent a while at the Performance Center, and he showed up on main roster fully emerged, ready
well,
to go.
Well, for the most part, yeah.
Yeah, I know. He's built on that game quite
yeah,
a bit
yeah,
since
yeah,
then.
Yeah.
But he's a huge, huge star right now. It would be great. It would be awesome. And WWE, sometimes they don't like to acknowledge past stuff.
Well, I mean, the whole Wyatt-Orton feud is more or less treated like fan fiction these days. It doesn't seem to be part of canon whatsoever.
Right, exactly.
But having a feud between Wyatt and Strowman would be great. And like Bray trying to take credit for creating the monster that is Braun Strowman. Braun saying, Bray Wyatt is garbage. I'm my own man.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good one. That was really good.
What?
What your impression? Just
oh, thank
then.
You.
It was a little bit more Braun than usual,
oh, okay,
so that
sorry.
Was very good.
No
apology necessary.
Maybe he can pull a piece of stage down on Bray or something, and Bray can teleport out of the way.
That was pretty. We're recording this on Tuesday, so we're coming off that Raw.
It's good they have grappling hooks just backstage at Raw.
Dude, who knew Braun Strowman was a master of the grappling hook?
I know.
He did that like it was Batman.
I know.
That was impressive.
It was pretty impressive. So there's a lot of good material storyline-wise to mine for this feud.
Yeah, man.
It could be really cool.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in the end, Braun would go over.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just another feud where Bray Wyatt shows his potential, but mm-hmm. doesn't capitalize on it.
Yeah.
But at this point, that's what Bray's there for.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to see this.
Yeah.
Braun goes over.
I agree. I think it'd be great. I mean, you know, Bray has to lose here. But, you know, he can
add some extra dimension to the Braun Strowman character.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and they can color in a little bit of the backstory, too. Mm-hmm. We should get, like, some origin stories type stuff.
That'd be good.
I don't know Braun's kayfabe origin.
I know. Like, go to the Wyatt compound.
Yeah.
Do a pre-film thing.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that'd be great.
Are there any pictures of Braun up on the wall in the Wyatt compound?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm trying to remember. When did Braun... Oh, the brand split broke them up.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just... He was
forced.
Necessity. There was no story behind their breakup.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Cool. Number nine.
Nine.
Minoru Suzuki versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah, we know they're both part of Suzuki Goon.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what would necessarily motivate this feud. Maybe if Suzuki takes that Intercontinental title off Tanahashi in the near future.
Yeah.
But hasn't Zack Sabre Jr. said that he is willing to take on the leader Suzuki-gun.
The genesis of this idea was Zack Sabre Jr., I believe, during the G1 or right before the G1, saying that it was he was totally fine ending it. Was Suzuki in the G1?
Yeah.
Okay.
He was in a separate bracket.
Yeah. Zack Sabre Jr. wanted to have the finals be him versus, and he called him his boss. And he wanted to show him up.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that was a great little seed that we never saw come to fruition. I would love to see that happen in 2018.
Yes, you have the technical master, Zack Sabre Jr., the tough-as-nails old guy with the wealth of MMA experience, mm-hmm. Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah.
This match would be phenomenal.
Suzuki had a good 2017. It wasn't a great 2017.
Well, it started out great.
Yeah, it did.
His match with Okada was outstanding.
Yeah, but he had a couple of stinkers in there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. He got some flack for there was some flack for the Yano stuff, but I loved the Yano stuff. I thought it was great.
Yeah. Well, I think Meltzer especially didn't like the lumberjack match.
Yeah.
Goto had.
Well, that was kind of what he was relying a lot of, or what the booking was relying a lot on, was just the constant interference from Suzuki-gun.
Yeah.
Which is kind of their thing.
Oh, it's definitely their thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I for one enjoy it. I mean, you get Taichi in there with the ring mm-hmm. bell mallet mm-hmm. hitting people. You know, he gets to a point in the match, he rips off his tearaway pants.
Yeah, it's always fun. I like, what's her monster's name?
Izuka.
Izuka. I like that nobody can really control that guy.
No, and he's got that metal claw type deal.
It just looks like aluminum foil.
I know. The characters in Suzuki-gun are all great.
They are. They're such a disparate bunch.
Yeah.
There's so much variety there, but yet they all mesh somehow.
Mm-hmm.
And Zack Sabre Jr. is definitely a standout. His heel work is just beyond great. Killer Elite Squad are great.
Yeah.
Like, I want to see them get involved in this. But anyways, yeah, no, this would be a lot of fun. Like, not just the fact that you'd have this built-in Suzuki-gun storyline, but also just the styles of wrestling that we're looking at. You noted earlier that Suzuki, obviously, is a striker, MMA guy. Zack Sabre Jr., technical genius.
Yeah.
This would be a lot of fun to see, especially given the nature that Zack Sabre Jr. tends to tap people out. That's his M.O., and to try to tap out, it's one thing to knock out a Minoru Suzuki.
Yeah.
It's another thing, or, you know, get the pin on him. It's another thing to make that old dude tap out.
Yeah.
That would be tough.
Yeah.
So that'd be a lot of fun to see him have to eat some crow and say, I give up.
Yeah.
If that would be the plan, I think that'd be really interesting.
No, I think that'd be really neat.
Number eight.
Eight.
War Machine versus the Authors of Pain.
For this match to happen, it would require two things. First, War Machine would have to sign with NXT. Which, according to Meltzer on Twitter, is a done deal.
Yeah, he's been saying that for a while now, yeah.
Also, Authors of Pain would have to stick around NXT for a while. I don't know why they would, other mm-hmm. than to take part in some cool feuds and some good matches.
Yeah.
But there's nothing left for Authors of Pain to do in NXT.
No,
they've
isn't.
Done everything.
Yeah,
they're going to do probably.
I was happy to see them in that silly War Games match because, like, they fit in perfectly with the fun nature of the chaos that
especially
match
when they were throwing people from one ring to the other.
Oh, it was fantastic. But yeah, in terms of, like, what is left for them to accomplish, there's zero, less than mm-hmm. zero. And so maybe some sort of torch passing match with War Machine, a program of some sort. Before Authors of Pain headed up to the main roster. That could be a lot of fun. War Machine is a favorite of both of ours. I didn't watch. The only match that I really care about watching in New Year's Dash was War Machine and Elgin again teaming up to face I forget who. Because I read somewhere on Twitter that to a degree they were freezing out Elgin on the tags.
Well, I heard that was the case at Wrestle Kingdom too.
I didn't know. I did.
Because I think Elgin tagged in. Because
Elgin started out, I think.
Yeah, I think he tagged in Rowe, mm-hmm. and then Rowe tagged in Hansen. But I don't think either of them ever tagged Elgin back in the ring. I think. Maybe I'm getting Wrestle Kingdom confused with New Year's Day.
No, that could be the case. I honestly didn't. I wasn't thinking about it at the time. And
I wasn't either. I just
attention.
Saw it on Twitter.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Anyways, it'd be cool for the NXT locker room, the Performance Center, to all be hanging with War Machine sometime pretty soon in 2018.
I would love to be hanging with War Machine. They seem really cool.
Yeah.
Because everybody seems to like to hang with them. Look, if Sacramento native Jeff Cobb loves to hang with them, I'm sure Sacramento native Steven Larson would love to hang with War Machine.
Good point.
And the rest of the NXT locker room. Number seven.
Seven.
Cedric Alexander versus Leo Rush. We might actually see this in 2018. This
yeah,
is a
possibility. Yeah, there's a good chance we'll see this. I think, spoiler alert, Leo Rush has a match on the last rounds of NXT TV tapings.
He's back in the mix.
Yeah, he's been doing some house shows. Mm-hmm. But I believe he has a match. So I wouldn't be surprised if Leo Rush makes his way to 205 Live by the middle of the year.
Mm-hmm. Leo Rush is the kind of guy who's got so much spark and so much, there's so much unique about what he can do in the ring that I could see him. Yeah, because we talk about 205 Live and we talk about how Enzo is such a force of personality that, for me anyways, we think that Cedric is getting there, mm-hmm. but I find it difficult to believe that WWE is going to take the title from him. After last night's Raw, I think it's probably going to happen at the Rumble.
Yeah. That was quite a dominant performance by Cedric Alexander.
Oh, my gosh,
I
know. It was rough. Like, the bleeding really helped in that match.
It did. It depends, too. I don't know if Enzo selling a leg injury is legit or not.
Mm-hmm.
But the impact in Enzo's landing looked a little rough.
Yeah, it looked a little rough. I think it was probably just a work. I would love to see a best of seven series.
Oh God, yes!
With Cedric Alexander and Leo Rush, I think that would be a blast.
Yes.
It would be so much fun. Let them do what they can do.
Yes.
Oh my goodness!
Who goes over?
Well, Leo.
At the end of the best of seven,
I think Leo Rush. I think because he's the guy who, with 205 Live, they don't have that one person that everybody wants to tune into. That's why I think Enzo spiked ratings, is because at the time he was so hot as a babyface in his silly promos that people were like, oh, wow, you know, this is new and kind of fresh and interesting. Mm-hmm. This buzzy guy with the weird stuff is happening on 205 Live. And now that shtick is getting kind of old, but people are still kind of sticking around for it. It's not like landing at number 18 in the ratings anymore.
Yeah,
it's closer to like 11, 10. Sometimes it's even higher than that.
Did you see that one of the 205 Live house shows?
Yeah, they canceled it.
Got canceled.
It wouldn't have happened if Leo Rush was there. People will want to tune in. I think he is such a talent that people will want to tune in for Leo Rush.
I hope so.
I think that's the case. I think he's a must-see wrestler. He's so different from anything the WWE offers.
Yeah.
And it's so much fun to watch his matches.
It just depends on if they allow him to do what he does best.
It'd be so weird if they didn't.
I know.
Because it's like, why else are you going to bring the guy in?
I know.
Like, you know, he's got, you know, he's not the greatest. He's had some issues in the back sometimes, having an ego. I'd probably have a big ego, too, if I can move like that guy. Give me a break. Anyways, number six.
Six.
Undisputed Era versus the New Day.
How long do you think Adam Cole,
Bebe,
Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly are going to be in NXT?
God, I don't know. I don't know, man.
But how great would they be on SmackDown?
Oh, they'd be great. That'd be great. It'd be fantastic. I would love it. I'd love it. Them versus the New Day.
The promos would be great.
Yeah, man.
The matches would be great.
Yeah.
Everything would be great.
It'd be all great. I would love to see this.
Do you think Undisputed Era would want to take their piece of stage they use for their promos?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they'd take that with them to SmackDown?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Film some more of those little, you know, yeah, we're on the playground type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, this would be great. There's a part of me that would love to see Sanity versus the New Day as well.
Yeah, that'd be good too.
But Undisputed Era, because you're not looking at, like, they're all good wrestlers. They're all really good wrestlers.
Yeah.
But this isn't, oh, look at this amazing wrestling matchup. It's, look at this amazing personality matchup.
Exactly.
You know, that's going to be the fun here. And all, you have all sorts of different, how many different combinations are we looking at? 1, 2, 3, 4,
what matches?
5, 6, 7, 8, and like 9 different combinations.
Well, that's just solo matches too, right?
There you go. 2-on-2, 3-on-3, 1-on-1.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
All that.
Feud can last forever.
Yeah.
They could, how about this? What if Undisputed Era and New Day feuded over the U.S. title?
Okay. That's great. I like that.
Feud over a singles title.
And I hope they bring back story time with Adam Cole.
I kind of don't. To be honest with you. Kind of don't. I want playground time with Adam Cole.
There you go.
Where he doesn't have a cheesy book. He's just telling, he's doling out some allegories.
Going down the slide, dropping a few lines.
Adam Cole, baby.
Going on the swing a little bit, talking while he's on the swing.
His legs kicking.
Does the rock climb, gets the top more lines of his promo.
Yeah, I like it.
That's all good stuff.
That's great stuff. Why don't they hire us? Number five.
Five.
Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns.
The past chosen one versus the current chosen one.
Oh, I think it's going to be great, man.
Great story just right there, ready to be told.
Can this entire feud take place as a series of gym workouts? Who can sling more weight?
I like that.
Who can do more reps? And Jinder will be the referee.
Yes. Someone on Twitter posted to us a workout of Jinder, Sheamus, and Drew. Drew's still rehabbing his biceps injury, so he's working out with one arm.
God.
It's insane.
Yeah.
The amount of weight they're well, it's not the amount of weight they're pushing, it's how many reps they're doing. It's crazy. They do 500 reps.
That's too much, man.
It's a lot.
It's a
lot. They're professional athletes. They have to do that.
They have to do that to get that body, man.
Oh, yeah.
Jinder wants to keep looking like a walking championship. So this would actually be a lot of fun. Drew McIntyre, I think he'd be a huge, again, shot in the arm to main roster.
To Raw.
Get him in there on Raw. People love him to death.
Yes.
Roman Reigns always claiming that it's his yard. I'd love to see them.
Imagine Roman has that Universal title. He wins it at Mania. Carries it for the most part throughout the year. Drew comes up to Maine right after Mania once he's finished rehabbing his arm injury.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a Intercontinental title reign.
Mm-hmm.
Get him familiar again with the main roster. In the fall, program with Roman.
Yep.
Chosen one versus chosen one.
I like it.
I think that'd be great. I'd love to see Drew go over, win the Universal title. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I want Drew to go over.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where they see Drew McIntyre. I hope they see him as a big, big star because that's how I see him.
Same.
That's how they should see him.
Yes.
Number four. Ricochet versus Aleister Black.
Now, as of us recording this, it's not confirmed officially that Ricochet is signing with NXT, but it seems that's going to be the case.
It seems like that's going to happen, yeah. And Aleister Black is one of our favorites in NXT right now. I think it'd be a blast to see, especially the styles. Like, there's such a contrast in their styles. Ricochet is more of a high-flying athletic type.
But here's the thing. They both can wrestle a really fast pace.
Yes.
Yeah. Even when Aleister Black is basing his offense on striking, it all comes so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And everything Ricochet does can come at you really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, Ricochet's an accomplished high flyer, but he's a lot more than that.
Right.
He's an all-around talent, Steve.
Yep.
He can do it all in the ring.
He can do everything. He can storytell. Now, he can do flippy. He can do striking.
As far as we know, they've wrestled once in 2013, I think you said.
Did I say that?
Yeah, we looked it up once.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
it was Tommy End versus Ricochet.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah. So 5 years later, it'll be a fresh match.
You know what I'm going to put it?
On a larger stage.
You know what I'll put it 4A here? Ricochet versus the Velveteen Dream. Pure athleticism just to blow the mind.
Yes.
That'd be great.
There's a lot we could have easily done, and we probably will once the signing is made official.
Ricochet Dream matches.
Yep.
Oh, absolutely. Who's number one on that?
Well, are we just saying NXT or just...
The entire scope of WWE.
I think number one on any Dream match list should always be AJ Styles.
Yep. Number three. Asuka versus Charlotte. We'll get
the Survivor Series next year if they keep doing champ versus champ matches. They're in different brands. Mm-hmm. That's an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Survivor Series next year, if it's champ versus champ again, Asuka's going to carry that Raw Women's title for most of the year. She should.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's a bummer we're not going to see it in like a stare down at this year's Rumble. Charlotte's not going to be in the Rumble because she's champion.
Mm-hmm.
But no, this is definitely something that should happen. I think Charlotte, in my opinion, should be the first one to give Asuka like real fits. In my opinion, I think that Charlotte should be the one to give her first loss. I don't want it to be Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah,
that'd be bollocks. But I would love for it to be Charlotte. I think it'd be fantastic. Or if they got their top notch creative guy to give it to Bayley. Like if they were to build Bayley back up to her NXT pinnacle to get that win from Asuka she never got in the first place, I could see that maybe. But as things stand right now, I think a really good series between Charlotte and Asuka somehow could do really good money. I think it could do really good.
That has to be a ways down the line though.
Yeah, I agree with
2019.
That. Yeah, I want to see.
They should be like
kind of a reset on Charlotte where she's just dominating.
Yeah, give them both a year long run of just domination.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Parallel, and then they meet, for example, at a Survivor Series.
It'd be akin to AJ Styles versus Brock Lesnar.
No belt on the line or anything. And then, it's just dominant women's champ versus dominant women's champ.
It'd be kind of tight if they kind of went the Rock Cena approach to it. And like how to do, you know, Asuka goes over the first year, Charlotte goes over the second year or something like that. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Take their time with it. Long-term storytelling.
Number two. Kenny Omega versus Kota Ibushi.
Yeah, we thought we were going to see this maybe at Wrestle Kingdom 12. Instead, Chris Jericho, the alpha
Mm-hmm.
Came over to New Japan, put on a stellar match against Kenny Omega at Wrestle Kingdom this year.
Mm-hmm.
At New Year's Dash, they're teasing some storyline between Kenny, Cody, and Kota Ibushi. Yeah. Kenny came out to make the save when Bullet Club was going to attack Kota Ibushi. So it would seem to be setting up a match probably between Kenny and Cody Rhodes somewhere down the line.
Right.
But I think we both still really want to see Kenny Omega versus Kota Ibushi at some time in 2018. I've seen clips of a match they put on in DDT Pro. Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's so much fun.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great.
Brutal. They were doing all sorts of crazy stuff.
Here's what I wanted. Look, the match will be fantastic. The match will be great. Match of the year.
You have Kenny Omega, who's the best. Kota Ibushi, who's
the best.
The best.
Yeah. So it'd be the best match.
Yeah. Do you think Kota Ibushi would take a one-wing angel off the apron onto the floor?
Yes.
Yeah, he would.
You mean onto nothing.
Yeah.
The bigger thing for me is going to be the build-up.
Yeah.
These two guys are so creative.
Yes.
And kind of oddball.
Yeah.
That whatever build-up they do,
is
going to be nuts.
Do you think they'll bring out miniature bicycles?
I mean, they should.
Like
miniature bicycles.
Like we've seen in DDT Pro.
Miniature bicycles, kiddie pools.
Yeah.
You know, go-karts, male butts. You know,
having matches at the mall.
Right, exactly. So like all that stuff. And then if they could take a story out of their backstage interaction,
an awkward hug,
the awkward
low
hug,
dissolve,
because
Kota alone in the hallway.
Yeah. There's some oddly like half bromance, half romance. Like, we love each other, but we hate each other. We're always going to be linked in some way. I don't know what it is. But the weirder, the better, and that'll bring, you know, and that match will have all sorts of heat to it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, lots, honestly, of crossfades. Let's all that match whenever the camera cuts.
Oh, crossfade.
Half second crossfade.
But really, I think the match stands on its own. You don't need a huge buildup for it. The history, I mean...
You don't need it, but I want it.
Yeah, I'm not saying I don't want it. I'm saying it's not necessary.
No,
anybody
yeah.
who knows anything about the history of Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega... wants to see this match now.
Yeah.
And if you don't know about their history, look into it.
Yeah.
They were a tag team. They were rivals. And then when Kenny went to New Japan, I think it was towards the tail end of Kota Ibushi's first kind of run.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he was freelance for a while, and now he seems to be back full time.
Yeah. And didn't Kota Ibushi say that the only way he would have signed with WWE is for the possibility? Who said...
Look, no, Kenny, when he was talking about it, said that, you know, I thought about it, but I was talking to... somebody, and there's something we still want to do in New Japan.
Mm-hmm,
he
yeah.
wasn't specific, but people were connecting like the dots to say it was Kota Ibushi.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to seeing what this is.
I don't know. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you. I don't know if they've had a feud in New Japan. I don't remember.
I don't think they have.
But at least a prolonged feud. I know.
Number one.
One.
AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
This is definitely something we want to see. We had to ask ourselves... September is coming up in 9 months, and Daniel Bryan's contract will be coming up in 9 months. Recently, he said that if he isn't cleared by WrestleMania, it probably means he's not going to be cleared to wrestle for the WWE by the time his contract is up.
Yeah, I guess in his mind, if they're not going to clear him for WrestleMania, the top show of the year, they probably won't clear him at all.
Right, exactly.
Although SummerSlam is like the second show of the year,
it's
possible. But I understand.
If they clear him and throw the world at him for SummerSlam, then I can see that.
But I see his point that if they're not going to clear me for top show of year, they probably won't clear me at all.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's that. I want to see. Here's my thing. So much great talent is coming to the WWE right now. It would be a shame for Daniel Bryan to miss out on all that great talent should he be cleared. Would I love to see him mix it up in Ring of Honor again in New Japan? Absolutely. However, I think it'd be a shame for him to leave the WWE.
Without getting some of these dream matches.
Without getting some of these dream matches and the way that he's going out, seemingly. You know, he said just recently in an interview, he said this a couple times. He didn't want to be general manager. He didn't want to, you know, Vince just called him one day, you're going to retire on Monday.
Yeah.
Whoa, you know, what the heck? And so to see him go out in a manner that he doesn't want to go out, that's a shame in and of itself. All sorts of great dream matches from a selfish standpoint I'd love to see him with.
Yes.
But AJ Styles right now is at the pinnacle of WWE wrestling.
It is. Yeah, he is.
And that's the match that I want to see.
And they're kind of planting some seeds for this match potentially. On last week's SmackDown, it seemed like Daniel Bryan was exhibiting far more heelish behavior than in prior weeks during this whole Daniel Bryan Shane thing that's going on.
Right.
So they can be laying the groundwork for a match between AJ and Daniel Bryan somewhere down the line. I'd be surprised if it's Mania. It'd be cool if it was. Maybe by SummerSlam this match will happen. And I think if it does happen, it's going to be phenomenal.
It'll be, yes. I will say hell yes to this match.
Not hell no.
Not hell no.
Hell yes.
Hell yes. Yeah, no, this would be great. I mean, will it happen? You know, it's all up to one Dr. Joseph Maroon. The mysterious masked figure, Joseph Maroon.
We did almost put Daniel Bryan versus Cody Rhodes, operating on the assumption that Daniel Bryan would not be cleared WWE. He would not resign with them. And back when Cody Rhodes first won, or shortly after he won the Ring of Honor title, he and Daniel Bryan were going back and forth on Twitter a little bit. Daniel Bryan says, if you hold on to that belt for so many days,
yeah,
I'll be there to take it off you, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so there was the thought that we had that, oh, maybe they're going to have Cody hold that belt for that.
Which obviously didn't happen because Dalton Castle has that belt right now.
Yeah, I'm not sure you want to mortgage the into, you know, the future of your company on, oh, is this guy's brain going to get cleared? Who knows? I mean, that's still a match I'd love to see.
Oh, yeah. And coming up with All In, Cody Rhodes and Young Bucks' self-financed, self-promoted show. It'd be interesting to see when they announce the date and the venue, how that lines up with, like, say they announced the dates in October or something like that.
Right.
After Daniel Bryan's contract has expired.
Right, right.
I mean, obviously, since he's under contract, they try to negotiate with him to appear at the show. That's tampering. You can't do that. But, you know, if they schedule it that late with the hope that he is not cleared, doesn't re-sign, shows up at the show.
Yeah. I mean, that's if everything else lines up and that works for them, then it would benefit them to do that because there is a strong possibility that if WWE does not clear him, well, number one, if WWE doesn't clear him, he is getting out of that contract. And he's friends with all those guys. I mean, he's in one way or another, he will be there for that show if the WWE doesn't clear him.
Yeah.
You know, is it for wrestling? Maybe it's just to do a promo. Maybe it's just to
make an appearance. Yeah, something.
Whenever somebody leaves the WWE, they always go somewhere and cut a promo, you know? And so that could be his venue to do that.
Yep.
He doesn't seem like a spiteful guy. So no. It wouldn't be like a promo that would be like, oh, screw them. And,
yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you know, we're, that. He
we're looking
shoot.
For a shoot here. But it would be probably a very inspiring promo.
Yeah.
And he would teach us about the values of veganism.
Maybe.
Clean living and environmentalism.
Yeah. Perseverance.
I'd watch that. I'd be cool with that.
Yeah.
You know, we can all use that. Anyways, that's it. AJ Styles versus Daniel Bryan. That's our number one.
Number one.
Let us know what dream matches you guys want to see in 2018. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.